Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, here we are in our message, Under the Influence. And last week, Pastor Sheree did such an amazing job talking to us about the importance of recognizing, like, what we are allowing to influence us, who we're influencing. She really challenged us. Challenged me. She said, you know, if all people say about you is that you love the people who love you, well, that's not really a compliment, right? If we just love the ones that are easy to love, that's really not saying much about us. She challenged us that, hey, you know what? To be under God's influence means to love everyone and showing that love to everyone. And today's message doesn't get any less challenging to us because when we talk about being under the influence, something that we have to remember, I think it's easy for us to forget that there's two things that are always constant in our lives. We are always influenced by something or someone, and we are always influencing other people, always. We're always being influenced, and we're always influencing other people, right? So I want to start today's message by asking you this question. What do you allow to influence your life? And how do you influence others? That should give us all an opportunity just to pause for a minute. Even this week as we go out and start thinking about things like, what is influencing my actions and what I'm doing? How are my actions influencing others? That should be constantly going on in our heads. Because in the culture we live in, there's this deep desire to be seen and known and heard, right? This desire is magnified in our culture. It's been like put on high definition through various social media platforms and YouTube and the ability that anyone can get their voice out there to be heard. Anyone can get their opinion out there to be heard. Anyone. These different platforms have made us like clamoring for popularity status. Like, how many of us put a post on social media and are always checking back to like see how many views it got, see how many people liked it, see how many people commented on it? I mean, and compliment of all compliments, how many people shared it, right? Do not raise your hand, okay? You don't have to raise your hand, right? But this is something that, like, we're always checking, like, hey, am I, like, do people see me? Am I being heard? And I watched this documentary on how it used to be in society that people had to be born into status, you know, to be seen and heard. Not that it's okay that way either, but that kind of was the way that society works, that you were born into status, especially at the, you know, in the early 1900s. But in the society that we live in now, status is self-created. We can create ourselves in any way that we want, and we can portray ourselves in any way that we so choose. And if we want to change how we are viewed, all we have to do is make a few posts about it, and that becomes the new reality of who we are, right? We have this constant desire to pick up a megaphone and declare to everyone everything good that we do, everything great that we are, in order to gain some type of status in our society, right? I mean, when I say we, I mean me included. There's this temptation to do that. And today's message is entitled this: step away from the megaphone. Yeah. And if I was to put like a little subtitle, because it was never intended for our hands, yeah. Right? Yeah. Step away from the megaphone. Let's look at today's passage in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Guys, I could just read this portion of scripture to you and be done. Because really, it speaks for itself. Watch out. This is Jesus talking. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your heavenly Father. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they've received all the reward they're ever going to get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Now, when Jesus was speaking this, he was speaking specifically to people about like giving to the poor, giving to the needy, and giving to like the temple. He was talking specifically about money and resources. And he's saying, like, don't announce it. No one else needs to know about it. He addressed that need right there about that tendency for all of us to pick up the megaphone in our lives. And I will tell you this, the megaphone's going to be in one of two places. It'll either be in your hand or in God's hand. And it's our choice as to where it is. And the first thing I want us to recognize is the megaphone was never intended for our hands. It doesn't fit in our hands well. We can't handle it properly. It was never intended for our hands. Jesus said it right at the beginning of this section of scripture. He said, don't do your works publicly to be admired by others, because why? Because you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. He goes on to say that if you do that, if you do announce everything great that you do and all the good things that you're doing and look at me, the public recognition that you get is where it stops. That's it. And I don't know about you, but public recognition for me doesn't get very far. It feels good for the moment, but the very next time, like, I get called out on something or corrected, I forget all about the good things that were said about me, don't you? And public recognition can only take us so far. But if that's all we're doing things for is for other people, then we miss out on all the great stuff God's holding for us. Now, other people will announce the great things that we are doing. And that's okay. Let them. But be humble. You don't have to say a thing. If God wants to use somebody else to announce and use the megaphone to say, hey, I saw you. I saw what you're doing. I saw how you treated that person. Okay. But be humble, because it's not about me. It's not about you. What's it about? Well, let's go back in Matthew a few verses from a previous message series just a few weeks ago in chapter 5. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Guys, our goodness to other people How we treat people, how we act people should be for one thing and one thing only, to point people to Jesus, right? If people are calling out the gold in our lives, let them. That is great, but stay humble. When Jason and I were first started in ministry in Stockton, California, we were working under this pastor named Eugene Kraft. And he's one of the most unique, eccentric men you'll ever meet. He looked like Willy Wonka and not Johnny Depp. Go back. Who was it? Eugene Wilder? Gene Wilder? Yeah. Gene Wilder. That's what he looked like. That's who we worked for. And Pastor Kraft, he lived for one reason and one reason only: to make heaven crowded. That's all he wanted to do. It was not for his own applause, and actually, public applause and approval really embarrassed him. It really, like, he did not want it. If you went up to him and you said, "Pastor, that message today was so good," this is what he'd do. Oh, it's Jesus. And, you know, some people do that out of false, like, false piety, false humility. Like, oh, it's all about Jesus. Thank you. It's all about Jesus. But when a person is truly humble and is truly deflecting praise back to Jesus, you can feel it. Like, your spirit feels that. And that is exactly how Pastor Kraft, he was like, oh yeah, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about, he would talk over you the whole time. Like if you were trying to compliment him, he would just talk over you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for using me. I mean, that's what he would do, because it wasn't about him, and he never wanted it to be about him. How I live to be like Pastor Kraft. I never want it to be about me. It is not about me, right? Everything that I do, I want people pointed straight back to Jesus, to my heavenly Father. Because I know on the other side of that, somewhere, there's like something waiting for me. And it's way better than any type of public accolades or appreciation. Because when my megaphone is placed in God's hands, God is the best cheerleader. Like, he's the best cheerleader. And it might not be immediate. I know, we live in a world where we like immediate response, right? We like immediate recognition. Did you see me? Did you see me do that? And God's recognition and his reward for our obedience and his reward for our actions of love, it might not be immediate. He might be seeing if you're going to be humble. Let's just be real. He might be like sitting there like, how are you going to handle that? I saw you. I did see you. How are you going to handle that? You going to be humble? Listen, as a parent, how many of us like waited just to see how our kids would respond to something? Just want to see. Like, are you gonna do what I've taught you? Before we say anything, right? We want to, like, is our teaching getting through to you? I think there's times when God's like, okay, I'm just waiting. I'm gonna see. Are you gonna be humble? Are you gonna point people back to me? Do it. Be humble. Stay small. Stay small. Don't let that need go to your head. I just want people to see me. Yeah, so does everyone else. So does all the other 7 billion people in the world. Everybody wants to be seen, and everybody has the same platform to do it. So why are we all clamoring for the same thing? Yeah. Quiet down. Be who God created you to be. And let him recognize that. Because when the megaphone is in God's hands, guess what? It is heard clearer, it is louder, and it reaches farther. Do you hear that? His voice penetrates way more avenues than our voice ever will. I was reminded this week of the story of David. It's in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. And when David was a very young man, like a young teenager, he was visited by the prophet Samuel, came to his family. The very first king of Israel, Saul, had been disobedient to God. And he had proven that he was not going to wait on God. And he was not going to trust God. And therefore, God knew he had to find a new king to come up behind Saul. And he sent Samuel to this family, to the family of Jesse. And Jesse presented Samuel with all of these, like, five different handsome, strong, good-looking, capable young men. Here's my oldest. And just publicly paraded this boy in front of Samuel. And Samuel's like, it's not him. Boy after boy, son after son, Jesse does that, singing their praises. And Samuel says, no, God says it's none of these. And he says, don't you have any more sons? And Jesse's like, well, I have one, but he's just a shepherd. All he does is tend the sheep. He's not really great. He's not even very handsome. And Samuel's like, can you bring him to me, please? And so Jesse calls, and here comes David, this scrawny little teenager who spends his days out with the sheep. And God taps Samuel on the shoulder and says, that's him. That's who I want. That's my next king. And right there, Samuel anoints David as the future king. He's not given a date. Like, on this day, you will then be crowned king of Israel. He's not given any information except God sees you. He knows who you are. And when the time is right, you're going to be king. See you later. And David is left with this burden of responsibility that he has no idea what to do with. Much like the burden of responsibility that you and I have every single day. I see you. You're supposed to declare who I am to everyone around you. Yet you're gonna be promoted. You're gonna be seen. You're gonna be exalted. Can't tell you when. But that's what you're supposed to do. And David was left with this to the point where he was in the very house of the king and was like his song singer when he's in a bad mood. And multiple times, that king tried to kill David to the point that David had to run away from the nation, from the kingdom of Israel. And as he's running and the king is hunting him, because by this point, Saul knows that he's not going to be king for much longer. And he's threatened by David. He's hunting David two different opportunities. Saul is in a spot where he's like vulnerable, he's sleeping, and David is hiding close by and they don't even know he's there. And the men that were with David's like, dude, here's your chance. Take him out. Get rid of him. And David says, oh, no, no. Mm-mm. That's my king. I'm not taking him. I'm not going to put myself in any position until God's ready to promote me. I will wait until the appointed time. David patiently waited. knowing that there was more, knowing that there was this reward on the other side. And he never once picked up the megaphone and announced how great he was and how loyal he was. He just patiently waited for the perfect timing. David's motivation was that God had something bigger for him. What's your motivation? What's your motivation to do the things that we do? Well, here's what it should be. In 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 3, Paul says this: if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I don't love others, I would have gained nothing. Do you hear what Paul's saying in there? What are you doing it for? A good social media post? When God prompts us to give our time, our money, our resources, we should do it for one reason and for one reason only, because we love God and we love people.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.